early friends and Quakers lived with a real sense that the kingdom of God was now. They were aware that God's order, the gospel order or kingdom of God, was imminent and breaking open in their midst. And in that, they experienced the transforming power and grace of God in their own lives. This was something real and tangible, not theoretical, not maybe, not we hope for, not if only, not I wish, but that God was present in their lives in a powerful way. And they believed that the same transforming power of God was at work in the world, that it was transforming the world in which they lived, the social, political, economic world in which they lived. The old unjust and ungodly structures in their world were found wanting and faced judgment. And so God's order, or the gospel order, the day of the Lord, the kingdom of God, were at hand. Early friends participated directly in this gospel order, and they worshiped in a different manner. They dressed differently. They spoke differently. They bought and sold things differently. Every area of their lives had been transformed by their understanding of what it meant to live in the kingdom of God today, to live out gospel order, to live out the power of God transforming their lives in very real and practical ways. For early friends, the power of the presence of Christ changed everything. Religion was not about some future event, some I hope I go to heaven someday when I die kind of event. Nor was it about the past. It was about right now. It was the imminent presence of God in the now, in the present moment, speaking to people in that present moment, speaking to them in their condition in that present moment. We like to quote the words of George Fox, who said he looked high and low and couldn't find help anywhere until there was one, even Christ Jesus, who could speak to his condition, spoke directly and personally to him. They believed that Christ had fully come. They didn't have to wait for more of God to come. That we hope that more of God will show up and somehow we'll feel more of God. God is here in absolutely all of God's fullness now in this moment. And we don't have to wait for it. It is here. It is present. For George Fox, gospel order wasn't just simply doing things right or being orderly or following this, what you're supposed to do in life, being a good person. It was about this transforming experience, this transforming knowing that God is present here and now. He talks one time about being moved to the Lord to go up and down the nation to preach the gospel. Then afterwards, he says, the Lord moved me to go up and down to exhort and unite that all people might come into the possession of the gospel and the order of it, which is the power of God, by which all things are upheld and ordered by the glory of God. That sense of knowing that this was bigger than just him, and that invitation to go out and call people forth, to come forth and to be aware that the gospel order, the kingdom of God, was full of the power of God, and it was enough for every person. That Christ is the reconciler of all creation to the Creator, restoring all things to their right order. Restoring all things to their original intent, the purpose for which they were created. The Genesis account records God as saying that everything was good. After he created, then that he looked and saw that it was good. It was in perfect order. It was the right order. But with the fall of Adam, the perfect order of creation is broken. Trust is broken. But Quakers believed that God's power could return them to this divine order before the fall, to this place where in Christ, where everything was just as God intended it in the first place. It wasn't kind of a, well, it was perfect back then this bad thing happened, now we'll kind of fix you up. We got band-aids, we got nurses, we got people that can kind of, you know, get you functioning again. It'll be good. It'll be good enough. No, they really believed that we could go back to that place where we were with God, where there was nothing that detracted us from that, where all was as God intended in the original creation. George Fox wrote these words in his journal, which are powerful. Now was I come up in spirit through the flaming sword into the paradise of God. When they left the Garden of Eden, there was a flaming sword set at the gate of the Garden of Eden so that they couldn't go back. But he says, in the spirit, he went back through the flaming sword into the paradise of God. All things were new. And all the creation gave another smell unto me than before, beyond what words can utter. I knew nothing but pureness and innocence and righteousness, being renewed up into the image of God by Christ Jesus. So that I say I was come up to the state of Adam, which he was in before he fell. But I was immediately taken up in spirit, to see another or more steadfast state than Adam's in innocency, even into a state of Christ Jesus that should never fall. That we could go into that place where we live in perfect union with God, and it is not disrupted by the things that are broken in the world around us. That we can know and be in that place of perfect union with Christ, with God. Attempts to fix things other than by returning to the full original intent of God fall short of God's power. The Jewish law of the Old Testament falls short of the fullness of God's power. Even the attempts of Paul and others in the New Testament are limited if they stop short of taking us back into this place of the presence of God, this place where we live with God, of fully restoring a life to that one that is simply based on trust in the living God. When we get caught up in the rules, we fall short of God's intent. When we get caught up of doing good things for all right reasons, because we're supposed to, because we tried to live good, righteous lives, we still fall short, even when they're good rules. And early friends understood that it was in Christ that the transformation was present, in this living with Christ in this present moment. First of all, I think just knowing that there is way back is powerful. We often don't know that there is a way to be connected to the living Christ, and that we can be in that place where Christ lives. And then simply that the way back is through trust in Christ, trust in God, trust in the Spirit, trust in whatever we name it, that's a journey that we take with God. And God will inform us as we go along on that journey. We need to be less worried about do I have all the theological understandings or underpinnings of my journey figured out? And do I got it right? No, we simply walk. Step by step, trusting in what we know. Living up to the light that we have. Living today and what I know to be true for me today. That is enough. It's that simple. Choosing to trust in the presence in the midst. Listening to that still small voice. The inner light. The inner witness. That nudge that says, maybe do this. That nudge that sometimes wakes us up in the middle of the night and speaks to us. That the way that things work out in our lives at times when they don't make sense, that shouldn't have happened. And yet it is happening. God is with me. Trusting that God is with me when things don't make sense and it feels like I'm going down some kind of a crooked path that isn't going anywhere. But I stay on the path with God. God leads, and it is enough. In going back into this place of gospel order, of the full original intent of God, it changes everything. It isn't just about the personal transformation that changes me. It applies to every aspect of life. It impacts the culture and the social customs as well. Sometimes we have seen, I think, our faith as kind of, we live in a bunch of little silos walking around, not touching each other, because it's all about God and it isn't interactive. And yet, for Quakers, they knew that it couldn't be just a bunch of little individual silos. It did impact everything around them, and they interacted with each other. As we come into this new order, we can see that there is a new gospel order for all of creation. And in that way, Quakers began to live according to the gospel order. Even when it meant that they were at conflict with the world around them, with the laws, with the socially acceptable ways of interacting with people of their day, the customs of the day, they knew that they must follow what they understood to be truth and God's leading in their lives. These different ways of living became known as testimonies, the testimonies that they lived out, testimonies of simplicity and of peace and of equality and of integrity, of living with each other by these right-ordered ways that came out of this transformation that was of their whole life. The full gospel order is available now. It is not simply some future paradise. This was the power of the early Quaker message, and they lived it in their lives now. And it was available to everyone on earth. One of the common theologies of that day was that it was limited to a chosen few. Only the chosen ones were good enough to get in on this kind of living with God. And they like to quote certain passages of scripture, which I think led them down a path that taught them something. And Quakers said, no, that's not true. They quoted John 1:9 and others that said, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world, that all people can know this kind of transforming grace in their lives. More of God is not necessary. We already have all of God present to us now. Everything that is God is present to us in this present moment. Sometimes you'll find in churches people more love, more power, more of God, and kind of this attitude of begging God to come and be more present to us. But all of God is present to us in this very moment. We don't always listen as well as we might. That is true. But it isn't because God isn't present in God's fullness. More of God is not necessary. We already have all of God present to us now. God is not absent or silent. God is speaking to us all the time. We simply turn and listen. Turn and pay attention. Turn and stop. And wait in the presence of God, inviting God to speak in a language in a way that we can understand as we pay attention and choose to be present to that. And as we live in the fullness of this gospel order now, we live into the kingdom of God now. And it is our witness to the world that God is present and actively restoring creation to its full order. This picture is entitled The Presence in the Midst. It was painted by a friend named James Doyle Penrose, born in England in 1862 and died in 1921. And I'm going to read the words that he said about this picture after he painted it. Following that, I'm going to sit down and we will enter into a time of listening, of waiting in the presence of God, in which the truth of this picture is present among us, in that Christ is here in tangible form. And we simply listen and wait and invite God to speak directly to our spirits that we might hear that which God is saying. We open our ears, we quiet our hearts, we wait and we listen because God is speaking. He said, "One beautiful summer day I went over to Jordan, a friend's meeting house near London, England, and quite alone sat down in the seat from which the picture was painted. I seemed, as I contemplated, all those who had worshipped there in the past, to be surrounded by them in imagination as if they were gathered there. I pondered on what it was that gave them all their power, for they had power in those bygone times. And then I realized that it was the presence of Christ amongst them, the presence in the midst. And I felt there was a subject I ought to paint, however inadequate I felt for the task. And I did feel that it was a very great undertaking. The sunlight streaming through the window threw the shadow of the casement mullion and transom on the wall. And although I was not conscious of it at the time, it must have been an unconscious inspiration. For years afterwards, it was pointed out to me that this shadow was a cross, an empty cross. The work on the cross was a finished work of redemption. And now he, who once hung there, was the risen living Christ, whose presence may be relied upon where two or three are gathered in his name."